At this time, we will sing together our opening hymn, number 547. Please stand. Our service for this morning begins on page 184. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your but I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
At this time, I will direct you to your propers insert as we speak together the introit responsibly. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. I love the Lord, because he has heard. Because he inclined his ear to me. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. Then I called on the name of the Lord. For you have delivered my soul from death.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. The Lord be with you. We pray together the collect of the day as it's found on your propers insert. Let us pray.
Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated for the readings. The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday of Lent comes from Jeremiah, chapter 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand
to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. At this time, I will direct you to your Luther's small catechism insert as we continue our confession on holy baptism. Fourth, what does such baptizing with water indicate?
It indicates that the old Adam in us should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned in the water of all sins and evil desires.
Where is this written? The epistle comes from Hebrews chapter 5. Every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, You are my son, today I have begotten you. And he says also in another place, You are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus and said to him, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, What do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory. Jesus said to them, You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they said to him, We are able. And Jesus said to them, The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Lord.
At this time, we will confess our God-given faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. It can be found on page 192 or the back cover of your hymnal.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints,
please be seated. Before we sing our next hymn, however, I'm going to talk to you guys about this pen. Normally I'd have the kids come up, but we'll wait until we get our pew set. I got this pen, and this pen has ink in it, and ink is used to write on my hand. Because what you'll find out about Pastor, if you haven't already found out, is that he has a really bad memory. And so, if I don't write it down, I won't remember. And so I got something really important to write down. What do you guys think I'm writing down? Is it my grocery list?
Jesus.
Someone's heard this one before. That's right, I'm writing Jesus on my hand. You guys probably can't read it from this far away, but that's what it says. And why would I write Jesus on my hand? Well, because his name is very, very important. You know, in the reading we just heard a moment ago from Jeremiah, we heard that God wants us not to write on our hands, but he wants his law, he wants his word, he wants even his promises to be written on our hearts. Now, I can't take this pen and somehow, you know, write on my heart. But that's not what God is talking about anyway. What he's talking about is how he wants his law, he wants his word, he wants faith to be in our hearts. Because he doesn't just want us to remember until we wash our hands next time. He wants us to remember about what his Son has done for us forever. And so this is why, in fact, we actually come to the Lord's house. And this is why we open our Bibles regularly to hear his word. It's because the more we hear it, the longer we will remember. And if we hear about Jesus being crucified and risen over and over and over again, it gets so written on our hearts so many times that we will never forget. And so again, it's not my grocery list, and it's not what I need to do later this afternoon. But by hearing God's word today, I hope that you guys will have Jesus' name written on your heart one more time, and that you'll come back again next week to have the same. Let us pray. Dear Jesus,
thank you
for giving me your word.
And for writing it on my heart.
Help me to remember your promises.
Both today and forever.
In your name we pray.
Amen.
All right. Thank you. At this time, we will sing together our next hymn, which is one of my favorites, number 430.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It was literally just this past week that my dear wife and I were having a discussion about one thing or another. It doesn't really matter. But she explained whatever she was saying once, and I didn't understand. And so, with her infinite patience, she explained it to me again, and it still didn't make sense, at least not to me. And so then finally, she explained it to me a third time, and third time's a charm, I guess, right? I finally understood after three times what she had been saying so clearly all along, and it all clicked and it all made sense. And again, I thank God that she has patience with me. Well, throughout the gospel, Jesus is very clear about what his plan and his purpose are, especially after his transfiguration, which we celebrated 5 weeks ago before Lent began. And after that event, as he travels to Jerusalem, he tells his disciples over and over and over again that he is going to Jerusalem to suffer and to die. He tells his disciples that he is going to be condemned. And in fact, our gospel text for this morning, which begins in verse 35, but right before verse 35, Jesus says immediately, right before this interaction with James and John, he says these words: "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise." This is what Jesus says. And in fact, the Bible, if you read through the Gospel of Mark, this is the third time that Jesus had said very explicitly that he is going to be condemned and treated poorly and put to death. James and John must have turned their ears off. Honestly, they must have had that selective hearing, because for them, the third time's not a charm. After this clear proclamation of the fact that Jesus is going to die as he travels to Jerusalem, not to reign as an earthly king, not to have power and glory, but to be humiliated, James and John still come to him and say, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left." What? It kind of leaves us scratching our heads, wondering, like, what are you expecting? And okay, so all the while he says, I'm going to have to die, but then 3 days later, I'm going to rise from the dead. He's explicit about that too. So maybe that's what they're referring to. But are James and John actually asking to be martyred? Are they actually asking that they will suffer and die with Jesus? I mean, no one asks for martyrdom. In fact, we actually get that Jesus fills us in on that much. He says, "You don't know what you're asking for." He tells them explicitly, "You think that I'm going to Jerusalem for some sort of grand purpose to be the king, and you just don't get it, guys. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" Now, the cup that Jesus is referring to here, it's the cup of God's wrath. And we get this a little bit later in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus asks that God might remove that cup from him, because the cup of God's wrath is something to be scared about. But Jesus says right here that he is going to drink from that cup, that he will experience all of God's wrath, and in fact, he will drink it all the way to the dregs. He will drink the entire cup. That way there is no wrath for anyone who believes in him. And the baptism with which Jesus is referring to here is not just a washing away of dirt, but it's a baptism into death itself. And in fact, Christian baptism, that we know it as far as the New Testament, talks about it this way too. Right? We're drowned in the baptism. We're drowned in the font. We are put to death there. Why? Well, that way we can be raised with Christ. But the cup and the baptism that Jesus is referring to here, it's not a good thing. It's not something that any human being would look forward to. So in short, Jesus asked these men, "Are you able to suffer and die with me?" Now, maybe it's a moment of faith-filled strength, but more likely the explanation is that they still just don't understand. Because the answer, we are able. We can take on God's wrath for ourselves. We could be put to death. They still don't get it. Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized." Now, Jesus isn't talking about the wrath or the cup that will come down from the Father, but rather he is talking about what they can expect for their future as believers in his death and resurrection. Because truth be told, James actually is martyred. He is killed for his faith. He's killed simply for believing God's word, living according to it, and telling others about it. We get it in Acts chapter 12, in fact. He was killed by the sword at the command of King Herod. Most of the disciples along with him would also be killed. In fact, John is actually one of the exceptions. Granted, John is also thrown into prison and persecuted just the same for his faith, but he is actually never martyred. But none of them understand that yet. At this point, all of the disciples are traveling with Jesus to Jerusalem, and we see that they're all indignant because James and John are seeking this place of glory, and they just don't understand. The right and left hand of Jesus would be given to two criminals. Two men would be crucified with him on Golgotha. They didn't expect that Jesus' right and left would be positions of shame. They thought they'd be positions of honor. My friends, we get the wrong idea too sometimes. I mean, we've been following Jesus through this entire season of Lent, and in fact, most of us for our entire lives. And we think that if we're faithful to God's word and if we continue to follow him all the way to where he is going, that somehow we'll receive positions of glory and honor in this world. But that's not the truth. You know, if you really want evidence of this, we find that when we go through suffering in this life, we almost become indignant. And we go, "God, I've been faithful. I've listened to your word, I've studied the scriptures, and here it is that I seem to be struggling through this life. Or it seems like I'm receiving suffering in this world." But why would we expect any less than what Jesus received? In fact, why would we expect any less than what the church has received throughout all of history? There's been some excruciating periods in world history where the church has simply had to endure suffering and pain and death for nothing more than believing God's word, living according to it, and telling anyone who would listen. Even in our world now, we find that there are those who are hostile to Christianity. There are those who will not stand for the proclamation of forgiveness in Christ Jesus. And it's not just someone who says, you know, your sins are forgiven. But we have to understand sin if we're going to understand who our Savior is. But people don't like to be told that they're sinners. People don't like to come face to face with their sin and actually recognize that they are the ones who have committed them against Jesus Christ. And because they don't want to hear the proclamation of sin, they also will not listen to the proclamation of a Savior. You want to bring it to some real examples? Let's just think about the unbiblical truths that are being perpetuated in our own country right now. I don't know if you've heard those letters, LGBTQ+. Or in the news recently, the Equality Act. That's unbiblical. To laud any of that as righteous or good in God's eyes, it's not. It's unbiblical. Or how about the federal support that is being poured into Planned Parenthood and abortion on demand, all under this guise that it's somehow empowering women? No, it's not. It's taking away the glory of women that is found in childbirth. It's unbiblical. Or socialism. Socialism is worship of the government and its institutional stealing. But yet we have those in our world today who laud it as righteous and good. But if we say any of this too loudly out there in the world, you know what's going to happen? Persecution. Just like Jesus received. Just like the church has received ever since he suffered and died. If we speak too loudly about it, there will be a cup and to receive and a baptism with which we will be baptized. Because the world and Satan, they're in the business of trying to cancel the church. It's what we can expect. But you know what's even better? Is that Jesus doesn't just tell us what to expect. He shows you. As much as Peter and James got, or Peter, James, and James and John really in this text, but as much as they got it wrong and the other disciples, they also got it right. Because there is suffering, that's true. But there is also that glory on the other side. There's glory in the resurrection. Jesus says, whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And that's exactly what Jesus does. He enters into death. He does go to Jerusalem to suffer and to be treated very poorly. And by doing so, he serves you and he serves me and he serves the entire world. He opens the way to everlasting life. When Jesus makes it to Jerusalem, everything that he said would happen, it actually happens. He becomes the servant of all, suffering for the sins of all, shedding his blood for all, and dying for all. He becomes the lowliest and most humble person who has ever walked the earth, and he does it by taking on your sin and my sin, and even the sins of those who persecuted him. Even the sins of those who might persecute us for standing on the truth. And yet what happens in being servant of all? But he is highly exalted. 3 days later, he comes back to life. Resurrection glory on Easter Sunday. And then after walking the earth again for 40 days, he is ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Yes, he endured suffering. Yes, he endured persecution. But God blessed him for it. My friends, where do we find empowerment? Where do we find the ability to carry on in the midst of a world that will not stand for God's truth? It's in our Savior. We trust that even if we might have to endure persecution, and you know, heaven forbid it becomes the persecution unto death. But even if we have to endure that, the church has known throughout the time since Jesus' ascension that through suffering comes glory. And it's not the glory of man or the glory of this world, but it is the glory of God. Because the road to glory is paved with suffering. Jesus shows us that much. He shows us in his own suffering. He shows us in his own blood. And he shows us in his own death. So my friends, stand on God's word. Be a voice of truth in a world that is utterly in darkness and in unbelief. A world that needs to hear what God actually says. And if you suffer, and when you suffer, know that you're sharing in what Jesus suffered. And in that, God will give you the glory. Not now, but in the life to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand. At this time, we sing together the offertories. It's found on page 192. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people, according to their needs. Heavenly Father, in these Lenten days we ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, to write your word on our hearts, that we might know you as the God who forgives our iniquities and remembers our sins no more. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, bless and sustain Matthew, our Synod President, Mark, our District President, Mark, our Circuit Visitor, and all pastors who, like us, are beset with weakness. Keep them faithful in proclaiming your word. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, your Son came not to be served, but to serve. Help us not lord our authority over one another, but humbly serve one another in our homes, communities, and congregation, as Christ has so humbly served us. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, look in mercy on all those to whom you have given earthly authority. Guard them from temptation to lord it over us improperly, that they might faithfully serve according to your good and gracious will. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you watch over, protect, and defend us through the service of others. Bless the men and women who serve in our military, police, and all emergency services, who, like your Son, are often called on to lay down their lives for us. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, as your only begotten Son learned obedience through what he suffered, we pray that you would bless, sustain, and relieve all those on our prayer list and those we now remember in our hearts. These and all who suffer in our midst, that walking the way of the cross with your Son, they may know the fullness of his eternal salvation. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, you have delivered our souls from death, our eyes from tears, and our feet from stumbling. Comfort all who mourn with this truth, that they may not grieve as others do, who have no such hope. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord's Prayer can be found in the back cover of your hymnal. Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. At this time, we sing our closing hymn, number 560.
Christ crucified, I come.